Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, once again we come before you and thank you for your word. Help us to have a better understanding. Help us try to avoid our own speculations. We thank you for the reality of Christ and for the salvation that is found in the blood righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this book that gives consolation in knowing that you never leave your people. And though there are uncertain times before us, and we know not what to expect, we're thankful to know that your promises are true. And while so many times we confess, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We thank you that even in those times we know that you are just and you uphold all things by the word of your power. Now bless us as we endeavor to study your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in Revelation 20, we find that, as we said in verse 4, the resurrection of the righteous that has taken place, though it is not plainly mentioned, that it's the same resurrection we believe that is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Where it talks about the dead in Christ, and that is what is called the resurrection of the just. In other words, when the Lord returns, we believe that all of the elect of God that have died will come with the Lord Jesus, and the rest of the elect that are alive when he comes will be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. In fact, let's go read those. Those are precious passages. First, let's look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You see, when we put the two passages together, that is 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4, we get a fuller picture. 1 Thessalonians 4, let's take up in verse 13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, those that have already died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that is, will not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now we've already said that we believe that we which are alive shall be changed. But it didn't say that in this passage. Notice what it said. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. It doesn't say we'll be changed there, does it? It just says we'll be caught up. But in 1 Corinthians 15, it does tell us more. We're so used to these two passages that when we read the one, we think of the other many times. Well, I'm wrestling here. I guess for time's sake, we'll skip some of this and go on down to verse 51. I'm tempted to start back up in verse 36, and all of that is so delightful. I enjoy thinking about the distinction of the body in the resurrection. In other words, I just got to say something about it. I don't guess I got it. But anyway, it talks about that there are differences of flesh. There's the flesh of birds. There's the flesh of fish. There's the flesh of animals. And then there's the flesh of humans. Four different kinds of flesh. They're not the same. They're different kinds of flesh. And then he talks about heavenly bodies and terrestrial bodies. Heavenly bodies are those stars and planets and so on. And the terrestrial bodies are these bodies that live on this earth. And then he talks about there's a glory of the sun, there's a different glory of the moon, and there's a different glory of the stars. And then he says that one star differeth from another. In other words, as far as we know, there are no two stars alike. That's astounding, isn't it? But what else is astounding? Does not science tell us that there are no two snowflakes that are alike? I tell you, God is astounding. Astounding. But then notice what he says when he talks about all of these different distinctions. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Jesus' body that was resurrected was not the same body as Lazarus when he was resurrected. Of course, Lazarus died again. Jesus was resurrected unto glory. But my point is, when the widow's son of Nain was resurrected, He didn't look like Lazarus. And when Lazarus was resurrected, he didn't look like the widow's son, did he? He looked like Lazarus. The widow's son looked like the widow's son. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses looked like Moses and Elijah looked like Elijah. And when Christ was resurrected, the only reason they didn't know him is because their eyes were holding for a while. But when that was let up, they knew exactly who he was. In other words, you are going to be you when you are resurrected. You're not going to be a clone of another human. You're not going to be a what's called identical twin of anyone else. It's going to be you. And then he goes on, talks about that it is sown in corruption, raised in incorruption, sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body, and so on. Now drop down to verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. See, in 1 Thessalonians 4, we that were alive, those that will be alive when the Lord returns, they just caught up. It didn't say anything about being changed. But here it does. We're changed. In a moment. Not in the blink of an eye, but in the twinkle of an eye. You know, your eye can twinkle and not even shut. That's quick. You say, what will it feel like? Don't know. Bible didn't tell what it would feel like. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, like a lot of things, as we continually say, I don't believe it because I can understand it. I believe it because of what the Lord said. Changed. Immediately. From corruptible to incorruptible. In a moment. From dishonor to glory. In a moment, from weakness to power. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When? At the last trump. 1 Thessalonians talk about the trumpet sounding. You say you believe that there's going to be a trumpet sounding? I certainly do. There was a trumpet sound on Mount Sinai. Moses didn't blow it, did he? God blew the trumpet, as far as we know. Might have been an angel. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it tells us that the trumpet sounded long and loud. And when the Lord returns, the trump shall sound. At the last trump. Maybe there'll be more trumpets. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. And so it is. This is what the first resurrection is like, the resurrection of the just. But then in Revelation 25, 20 verse 5, the rest of the dead. The rest of the dead live not. The first resurrection was composed of those described in verse 4. That is, those that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither the image, neither had received the mark in their foreheads. That was the first resurrection. The first resurrection is enumerating something. It is the first of a kind, the first of a series, something of the same nature. Even Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 speaks of those that are asleep in the dust of the earth being awakened. This is composed of bodies, not souls. Souls do not sleep. The body sleeps. You know, I don't know that I had thought of this till just now. But your soul does not necessarily sleep when you sleep naturally. And I can prove it. Do you not dream sometime? And even after your body wakes up, you remember something about those dreams. You say, well, there's a lot of times I sleep, I don't remember anything. That's true. But your soul is still active. You know why? Because you're still breathing. The soul doesn't sleep. It may rest, and you say, well, what do you call it? I don't know what to call it. Scientists may have a name for it, but the point is, there's life. That's what the soul is, there's life. And even when you die, that life is not extinct. It goes back to God, which gave it. For the righteous, he goes to be with the Lord in paradise, as it were. With the unrighteous, it goes to be where the rich man went, and things of that nature. And we don't want to get off into all of that. But the point is that these are the two groups. Some to everlasting life in Daniel 12, and some to everlasting shame and contempt. There's two different groups that are resurrected. It's the resurrected of the just and resurrection of the unjust. Now, many people think that the resurrection is going to take place for both of them all at the same time. But the Bible doesn't say that. You have to assume it. But when we look here, the rest of the dead were not raised until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. There was a distinction of 1,000 years between these two resurrections. You say, well, I don't believe that means what it says. Well, you've got to make up something. I believe it means what it says. And according to Revelation 20, there is 1,000 years between the two resurrections. The first resurrection, as we said, from Luke 14, I believe is described as the resurrection of the just. Luke 14 doesn't talk about a resurrection of the just and unjust. It just says the resurrection of the just, indicating that the just are resurrected separately from the unjust. The first resurrection is talking about those different from the resurrection of the dead. There is what's called the resurrection of the dead. The first resurrection is different from the rest of the dead. The rest of the dead. Those in the first resurrection include people who were not put to death in the tribulation period. It includes all the elect, the people of God. And verse 4 describes others who are not alive during the tribulation period. But the rest of the dead did not live again, indicating that they were at one time alive, but they did not live again. Notice verse 5, the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. The rest of the dead includes those who are alive but not in the first resurrection. And will also live in the millennium, and some may even die. Look in Isaiah 65. You see, when the Lord returns, while you're turning there, when the Lord returns, according to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15 and Luke 14 and others, all of the righteous will either be changed or resurrected. That takes care of all the elect. The unrighteous that are alive, nothing is said about them. Nothing is said about the unrighteous that are alive when the Lord returns. It's never said that they're changed. Nothing is said about them. Therefore, they still live. They're still alive. And according to Revelation and others, nothing is said about the unrighteous living again when the Lord returns. But it does say they live again after the Lord returns. We read that in Revelation 20 and 5. The rest of the dead live not again until after the 1,000 years. Is that clear? We'll say it again. When the Lord returns, we have from 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, Luke 14, talking about a resurrection of the just, and the just that are dead will be resurrected, and the just that are alive will be changed. That's what happens to all of the righteous when the Lord returns. When the Lord returns, then all of the righteous are glorified. Nothing is said in Scripture about the unrighteous dead when the Lord returns. And it doesn't say that the unrighteous that are alive when the Lord returns are killed. Nothing is said about that. But it does say in Revelation 20 and 5 that the rest of the dead, which would be the unrighteous, live not again until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. So you have the righteous glorified when the Lord returns. You have the unrighteous still living when the Lord returns. And you have the unrighteous dead resurrected after 1,000 years. You see that? Now, in Isaiah chapter 65, picking up in verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. We'll talk about that more when we get in later on in Revelation. When the Lord returns after a period of time, He will create a new heavens and a new earth. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not defiled his day, hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Who is the sinner and the child that shall die after the Lord returns? Not His children, because they're glorified. Some of the unrighteous dead that were alive when the Lord returns. In other words, there may be deaths during that 1,000 years. We're going to see in Revelation 20, all of the unrighteous resurrected and go out to fight against the Lord, but we haven't gotten that far yet. Verse 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullocks, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. All of that has to do with the coming of the Lord. Now, we're not trying to put all of this in chronological order, because the Scriptures in one place does not necessarily put everything in chronological order, but it puts a lot of things that happened at the coming of the Lord, and it's not in chronological order, but it doesn't give all the details. For example, 1 Thessalonians 4 doesn't talk about us being changed, does it? But 1 Corinthians 15 does. In some of the parables in Matthew, it talks about the angels gathering the elect from the four corners of the earth. And so you have different things that happen, but at any one place, it doesn't give necessarily everything that's going to happen at the coming of the Lord in chronological order. And we kind of put all of this together and put Scripture with Scripture and say some of these things will happen, and how the details will come about, we'll have to wait and see. So here we see, back again, in Revelation 20, the rest of the dead. Who's the rest of the dead? The rest of the dead are the wicked that were dead when the Lord returns. Why? Why do we say that? Because when the Lord returns, all of His people are resurrected or changed. Right? And so they're changed, they're resurrected, and they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, that is the wicked that are dead when the Lord returns, they're not resurrected until 1,000 years later. All right. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? The resurrection of the righteous. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Who is it that's going to reign with him? Those that are in the first resurrection. Notice the blessings. The blessings of this book. Here it says, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Look in Revelation chapter 1. We see the first blessed. Verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 14. This ought to be precious. You've heard it many times. Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yet saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Chapter 19, verse 9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Revelation 20 and 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And then Revelation 22:7-14. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. The people of God are blessed. They're also holy. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. The second death has no authority, has no power on the people of God. Those are those of the second death. Those that are of the second death are cast into the lake of fire. Look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The first death is natural death. The second death is the lake of fire. Children of God face the first death, but the children of God do not face the second death. It has no power on them. Can you not say hallelujah to that, beloved? The second death has no power over you. Those in the first resurrection are priests of God and of Christ. Notice in verse 6, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Again and again and again, it talks about the righteous, the first resurrection, the people of God, the just, they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Those in the first resurrection will reign with him 1,000 years. Is this real or some spiritual reign? Is this some mystical reigning or is it a real reign? I believe it's real. The bodies are raised. The bodies are raised. It doesn't say the spirits are quickened. See, for those that say the first resurrection is regeneration or the new birth, that's the spirits being quickened. Here it's talking about bodies being raised. Bodies will reign with Christ, not spirits reigning. And since God inspired John to write 1,000 years, who am I to say that this is not real also or literal? If it's some symbolic number of all the events listed around the 1,000 years are to happen. In other words, if it's a symbolic number, why not everything else symbolic? You either have to make it real or not. Six times the 1,000 years is mentioned in this chapter. Six times 1,000 years is mentioned in this chapter. One, Satan is bound. Two, nations are not deceived. Saints live and reign with Christ. Four, the rest of the dead did not live during this time. And five, Satan must be loosed after the 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. This is the 1,000 years of him being in the abyss. Verses 1 and 2. 1,000 years of Satan being shut up and sealed in verse 3. the 1,000 years of nations not being deceived, as they eventually are now in verse 3. 1,000 years of those sitting on the thrones judging peoples in verse 4. 1,000 years of those on the throne living and reigning with Christ, verse 4. 1,000 years of the rest of the dead not living, verse 5. 1,000 years of those who will be priests of God and of Christ reigning with Christ in verse 6. So you see that all of that is being summed up. God says it over and over and over and over again. Satan is loosed, that is, he's unchanged and unsealed and unbound. In verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He's loosed out of the abyss. And then notice what it says in verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Where did these people come from? They are those unregenerate who were not killed when the Lord returned. You remember we said that when the Lord returned, all of His people are glorified? And the wicked that were dead, nothing is mentioned about them until after the 1,000 years. But the wicked that are alive, they remain alive. You see, we saw a lot of people killed back in verse 9, in chapter 19, but not everybody was killed. But here we see there are some more people that are alive on the earth. If the saints were judging over the nations, there had to be wicked nations still on the earth when the Lord returns. He rules and reigns with a rod of iron. The reason, and Satan was not alive to stir them up until after the 1,000 years. Some people try to figure out who Gog and Magog is and all of that. If you want to get more of an idea of that, we won't take the time in this study to do so. You might on your own read Ezekiel's chapter 38 and 39. But verse 8 tells us that there are still nations on the earth after the end of the 1,000 years. These are people on the earth that are not children of God. They are the wicked. This shows that all of the wicked were destroyed. This shows that all of the wicked, were not destroyed immediately when Christ came back to the earth. Many were. Many were. He smote the nations, but he didn't destroy all when he came back immediately. Also, these people did not have a changed body. They were not transfigured, nor were they resurrected. They were still in their sinful, mortal, corruptible, dishonorable bodies. Notice what it said. Verse 5 again. The rest of the dead live not until... They didn't live again until the resurrection, until the 1,000 years. And yet those people that were alive when the Lord came, that were not destroyed, He destroyed some, but He didn't destroy all. They lived in the four quarters of the earth. And in other words, they lived throughout the whole earth, and Christ reigned over the earth. Note that the number of people is innumerable. Verse 8, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea, which is a contrast from the 1,000 years, which is a specific number, a number of time. If Christ's reign was more than 1,000 years, in other words, if it was an eternal reign, why did it not say an eternal reign? Why put limits on it? Why put limits on the rest of the dead not living until afterward? In other words, you have to explain away these verses if you do not just take them at face value. Just like you would take the Word of God at other places at face value. It has to be taken in light of its context. Magog and Magog, I think, are just descriptions of the enemies of God. Though it seems to be designate the enemies of God. And you, like I said, you might read Ezekiel 38 and 39, especially Ezekiel 38 verses 14 through 23 and 39, Ezekiel 39, 11 through 16. You would get some of the idea of the enemy of God and the wickedness, the wicked people. Modern preachers and evangelists proclaim that if we can get the world in the right condition, we could get more people converted to being Christians. Well, that's not true. What could have been a better condition than the time of the millennium? If I'm right about the millennium, what could be a better condition of time for the world? All wickedness is restrained. Christ is ruling with a rod of iron. His people are ruling with Him over the nations. Angels are being judged and all that. In other words, what better condition of the world than during the millennium? And still not one individual was added to the family of God. The wicked still remain wicked. World condition getting better is not going to bring about one convert. The only thing that will change a sinner is the sovereign grace of God by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Every one of Christ's children were either resurrected or glorified when the Lord returns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After the millennium, and if the millennium is a perfect environment, which I believe it to be, as perfect as could be, those wicked people manifested their wickedness after Satan was freed to deceive them so much. For man having a better condition. Sinful man continues to be rebellious regardless of the environment. Unless God changes the heart or the will of man, he will continue in his lost condition. And beloved, the only reason that you love God is because he first came into your life and changed you and caused you to repent, caused you to be converted, caused you to believe, caused you to love him, caused you to desire to walk and to follow after him. It was not your upbringing. It was not your parents. It was not anything but the sovereign mercy and grace of Almighty God. If having a good environment would cause any change, then there ought to be people saved during the millennium, as people would put it. But none were saved. None were saved. Because all of the righteous were resurrected or glorified when the Lord returned. The rest of the dead, they weren't resurrected till after. Well, we must need stop here because we got a few other things that we surely can't get through all of that before, today. We need to stop here. But you see, Christ returns. His people are either resurrected or glorified. The wicked that are dead, they stay dead until after the 1,000 years. Nothing is said about the wicked that are alive when the Lord returns. In fact, I know of no passage in all of the Bible. If you know one, bring it to me. I don't know of any passage in all of the Bible that talks about what happens to the wicked that are alive when the Lord returns. Now, we're going to see, Lord willing, next time, after the millennium, well, let's say after the 1,000 years, the wicked that are alive and fight against God will be killed. And then all of the wicked will be resurrected and cast into the lake of fire. But I know of no passage that talks about the wicked that are alive when the Lord returns, other than what we find evident here in Revelation 20. But many people generally assume that the Lord returns, the righteous are resurrected, the wicked are resurrected together. The righteous and the wicked are resurrected together. The righteous are carried to glory. The wicked are put in hell. But what talks about the wicked that are alive when the Lord returns? Only in Revelation 20 does it talk about where the wicked are destroyed after the 1,000 years. You see, there's plenty of gaps unless we take Revelation 20 for what it says. Otherwise, I don't find any verses for them. I hope I haven't confused you. Lord willing, we'll take up verse 9. next time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what we believe to be some answers. I know there are some good and honest men that would differ with me on some things. Maybe greatly differ with me. But I'm thankful for one thing, that we can all agree that the Lord is returning. And when it comes to pass, it'll all be clear. And we'll all be satisfied. We may differ now. Hopefully we can differ and still love each other and not have malice and hatred. I do trust that in me being somewhat forthright in what I believe, that it hasn't been offensive to anyone who differ with me. I didn't mean it to be, if so. But I have to be honest before you and before those whom I preach to preach what I believe the Scriptures to teach. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, is our cry. Amen.